So, I always do.
Hey, everybody. Today, let me just bring this up before we go into our guest, who is amazing today. We're going to be talking about energy healing. Energy healing isn't just for physical ailments, okay? It can be a transformative tool in nurturing healthier, more fulfilling relationships and creating a profound shift in how we perceive and experience love. So that being said, today we are talking about love, self-improvement, and shifting gears in your dating life with none other than the celebrated love coach, Carissa Montooth. Carissa is a sixth-generation healer and esteemed author, has an unshakable commitment to guiding single women through the intricacies of attracting and dating marriage-minded men. I love that. She's been featured as a top 10 love coach by Yahoo Finance, and Carissa wields her an advanced degree in psychology and counseling to help her clients heal subconscious blocks, pinpoint blind spots in love, and navigate the dating world with poise and self-assurance. Whether you're healing after a breakup, navigating dating over 40, or seeking to manifest love in your life, Carissa's expertise is truly, truly transformative. I am ready to have an awesome discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Hey, Carissa, we are back.
Hey, Michael J. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm excited to keep talking to you. Like, I almost forgot to start the show because we were like, damn it. Love this.
So, me too.
Let's just jump right into this, okay? So your work centers around a unique combination of relationship coaching and energy healing, which is like, I've never heard that combination before. So how do these like two disciplines complement each other in your practice?
Yeah, well, it's pretty rare to see that combination because a lot of times people are thinking of, I need a love coach, or they want to know which dating app they should be on, or like how they should write a profile or something like that. But the thing usually that's underneath of that, that's creating like whatever the pattern we keep seeing over and over again in dating, mm-hmm. is usually a deeper energetic issue. It's a pattern of beliefs that we have about what we deserve to have in love. Mm-hmm. It could be a wound from heartache that we've experienced before, whether that was 5 days ago or 5 years ago. We can actually still have energetic connections to exes that need to be cleared out. And it also has to do with what we learned that love was, you know, when we were growing up from our family of origin. So there's so many things that are not just a part of like, just put yourself out there more, get out there more. And you know what I mean? There's so many things that are not a part of that. And that's why, you know, close to 90% of my clients are in happy, committed relationships within about 6 months of us working together, because we do that deeper energetic work. That's how you get the changes, because it's not just like, let me attract the person. It's like, how do I become the person who can sustain that relationship?
That's good. I got to ask you about patterns, because I think we have all seen people who have a type, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's, I want you to talk about it in terms of patterns and how are people finding these patterns and why are they sticking with them?
Oh my gosh, yes. So like a typical pattern is, this is the way that I grew up and this is what was missing. And so that a lot of times it's like my parents only showed love to me when I performed to very high standards. So now that I'm in relationships, I think that I have to earn my earn approval or earn love from the other person. Uh-huh. So it's like this this thing of that happens often with very high achieving women that I see, where it's like their pattern of being reinforced for being academically successful and doing all these other things as they were younger, mm-hmm. that goes into dating as an adult, where it's like I have to be perfect in every area. I have to prove that I am actually worthy of having this love. You know, and sometimes the pattern is the first time that I was deeply in love with someone, they cheated on me, they broke my heart. And now for some reason, I believe that that's going to always happen. And so subconsciously I'm attracted to people who I expect to do the same thing to me, because that feels familiar.
That it's familiar and like, dangerous. That's the right, it might be the wrong word, but like, do you see the patterns mostly in the other person that you're not, that they're attracted to, or do you see the patterns in your client, and those are the patterns you want to break? And like, so it's, they've got a pattern for themselves and they've got a pattern for the person they want.
And yeah.
So how do you know which one you need to fix? I guess
you can only fix the pattern in yourself, right? It's like, you're going to search for a certain thing because of your own beliefs about what's out there or what's possible for you, or what you've experienced in the past. So everything that's going to be outside of you that you even notice or that you're even attracted to is going to be because it matches a pattern or belief that you have inside of you. And that's the only thing that you can change, right? So it's like, some things that are dysfunctional or dangerous, you know, like you were talking about, are those patterns of like being attracted to something that's not healthy because it feels familiar.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense, because I do talk to a lot of people and everyone comes back to, you can't change them. It's got to be you that changes, and then everything else can change because of that. And thanks for reminding me about that again.
Some things are just true because they're true and they're true.
What's up with mind maps and mind mapping? Is that
mind mapping? You mean like in terms of like figuring out like a list of qualities or something like that?
Yeah, helping people find like the person that they want to have a relationship with, or how do you go about helping people find their perfect match? I guess that's the word I'm looking for.
Oh, I love that. So I usually, my process in working with my clients is that we start out with the deep healing, because it's really hard to get clarity about what you want when you're in a state of like being always dysregulated or being really triggered or things like that. It's very hard to be clear about what you want because you're really busy still running away from what you don't want, you know? So it's like, that's your focus. Your focus is what you don't want. I don't want to experience that again. I don't want to feel that way again. I don't want to feel this other. I don't want to feel lonely. I don't want to feel betrayed. I don't want to feel whatever the thing is, right?
But isn't it hard to go to that? Isn't it hard to go to, I want this, if you've never seen what it is? Isn't it easier to say, I don't want this to happen again, since you don't know what the other thing is?
Well, it is. You're absolutely right. But the problem is that we actually attract what we focus on the most. So when we focus on what we don't want, our subconscious doesn't go, don't give me a cheater. It goes, cheater, 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 because that's what we're focused on. And it always says yes. So if we're like, cheater, 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 and that's our focus, our subconscious goes, yes, I will notice the cheaters. And then they will feel familiar because I have focused on them and I have experience with them. And in my energy, I will think it's chemistry, but it's actually that they are triggering a particular wound in me, and that feels familiar.
Gotcha. So how do you, like, what's the process that you use if you want to start the healing and getting rid of the cheater mindset into the someone loves me mindset?
Well, what I do is I have to get a history really of that person. I have questions that I'm asking them. I want to understand what their family of origin was like. What were mom and dad like? Because they were your number one and number two. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to understand what your earlier relationships were like. What was your first relationship like? What was the relationship that had the biggest impact on you, positive and negative? Those kinds of things. Is there an ex that you still are constantly thinking about? And what is it that you wish had happened differently in that relationship? Because all of those questions will show a pattern. And then I can get down to what is the belief that is making that pattern happen over and over again. Sometimes the belief is, no matter what happens, I will be abandoned.
Yep. You know? And sometimes I get that. And I totally understand that. And it's one of the things I talk about myself with my friends and people around me, is like getting away from that influence, whether it's those old friends or in your old job or something like that. Is it the same with, I guess, for relationships and things?
Well, it can be. Yeah, we definitely have friends who are a negative influence on our love life, because they'll say things like, well, you're not getting any younger. Or they'll say things like, you know, I know I've had some clients who've had friends that said things like, well, what are you waiting on, some new type of man or something like that? And, you know, people say things like that to you, and they think that they're helping you be realistic to protect you from disappointment, but they're really just sharing their limited beliefs with you. And those are infectious because you think, well, if my friends think that that's true, maybe that is true, you know, and it becomes really hard for you to start thinking that there's something different for you than what they've always experienced.
I mean, talk about that, because that is so powerful. And I've heard the statement, you are the, you know, culmination of the your five closest friends around you or the people around you, right? So yeah. Nobody's going to just drop them, right?
Well, no, we have to be good at I call it deciding who gets to have a vote on your mental council.
Okay.
So like you can have a lot of people, you have to be choosy about who's on your mental council, but even all those people don't get to have a vote, right? Because what you have to do is say, you look at their lives and you say, well, are they happy and flourishing in their relationships truly? Do they have the kind of relationship I would want for myself? Because if so, they get a vote. They can tell you something and you can listen to that.
Okay.
If not, you don't really need to take that, you know, you can really take that with a grain of salt. You don't have to take what they're saying mostly to heart. You can understand that they have a good intention in sharing it, but really they're sharing it from limited beliefs because they can't even create it in their own lives. So how could they help you create it in your life? You
know? Yeah. Talk about
it's the same thing with like business and stuff like that. You people talk about like, I'm going to help you make six figures and they've never done that. Well, Pump the brakes on that.
There are a lot of gurus online talking that noise, right?
Yeah.
I'll help you get 1 million internet followers. I've got three.
And they've got, four. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, and I like the term self-care, and I've been hearing that, loving that, believing it now for a long time, but I ask about it. So talk about self-care and that little council of people that we were just discussing.
Yeah. Well, self-love is such a huge thing, right?
Okay.
And self-love is this bigger umbrella that self-care is under.
Okay.
So self-love, and it's also one of those things where it gets thrown around and people are like, you gotta love yourself before you can love anyone else. And you're like, cool, I'm on board with that. What does that look like in my day-to-day life?
Yeah.
You know, how do I translate that into actions? So self-love is this big umbrella, and it's treating yourself the way that you would treat someone else that you really, really love. And often I can get parents to switch into that mindset if I ask them a question and say, would you want this for your child? The same behavior that you're putting up with, would you want that for your child?
Okay.
Would you want, sometimes I'll be in a situation with a client who is dating somebody that's misogynistic and they're displaying really misogynistic qualities. And I'll say, would you want your daughter to date someone who is saying those kinds of things to her? And they're like, absolutely not. I'm like, well, then why is it okay for you? You know, so a lot of times it's hard for us to think of ourselves as someone we love.
Yep.
But there's that big umbrella of self-love, right? And self-care fits under that in terms of like, how do we take care of our body? How do we take care of our mind? How do we take care of our spirit? You know, other things that are under self-love are things like having boundaries, like how we say no, how we protect our time, you know, how we say you can behave whatever way you're going to behave, but if it crosses this line, I will withdraw myself from that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so you want people to like make different choices than is what they have to do. Is that right? They've got to choose differently.
They have to choose differently because they have to make themselves the most important person in their life. And a lot of times it's hard for us to do that, but it's definitely necessary for love because we don't make love happen. We make it welcome.
I love
and
that.
And so we have to take care of our own energy first. We have to be in an energy where we are actually emotionally healthy and able to receive. And where our energy is so precious, you know, and we have to tend to it.
What's the biggest challenge you see that people have when they want to try and choose differently? Is it their environment? Is it their thoughts? Is it, what is it that makes it difficult to choose something that's different?
It's usually their thoughts. We self-sabotage really often. We say, we look at the space between where we are right now and where we want to be.
Yes.
And we exaggerate how big that is. And we're like, it's going to take forever and I'm never going to get there. Instead of looking at where we are and where we came from and going, look how far I've come. I'm amazing. Look at what I did. that's incredible. Look how much I've grown. Like, I'm capable of so much. Instead of looking at that, you know, and really focusing on that and letting that momentum help us move forward, we get really fixated on how far away we think the change is. We get fixated on how far away we think that life that we want to have is, or the person that we want to be is. We just think it's really far away from us, and it's never as far away as we think it is. It's
Wow.
always it's always a thing of seeing the momentum that we create by saying, "I'm amazing, look what I've done," actually helps to move us forward much more easily. You know, like we can change and love ourselves to the change. We don't have to change because we think we're terrible the way we are, you know.
That's a good one. I like that. What have you found is the most, like, I don't know, challenging thing for people to change? Like, you've talked to 100,000, however many people, and you're like, this one comes up a lot. Like, what is it?
I think it's probably the idea that I am going to make a change inside of myself that's going to have such a huge impact on what I actually see around me. People think that it's the other way around. Everyone thinks that I'm responding to my environment. I'm just being realistic. I'm just reacting to my environment. And getting people to make the mindset shift that no, I'm creating my environment through my thoughts. That is a huge shift for people to make. And it's something that they need to kind of see the evidence of by practice, by noticing it over and over again before that's real to them. But it's really hard for people to understand how much power they have. And even when they do begin to understand that they're manifesting the situation by what they choose to focus on, they don't think of that as a powerful position. They think of that as like, oh my God, I've been ruining my life by focusing on the wrong things. What if all of these doubts and fears become super powerful because I'm focused on them and I manifest them into my life? What if they start to think that instead of thinking, wow, I've created this situation I don't like through my thoughts and what I focus on and how I behave. And that means I can create a new reality by changing my thoughts and what I focus on and how I behave.
I will tell you that is absolutely the hardest thing to know. So for all the people out there who go like, I want to be a millionaire but still like count coupons, it is a super hard thing to do. And if I had another superpower besides losing my memory, it's a superpower because I get to watch the same movies over and over, and I love them.
And still love them like the first time.
Exactly. That would be a superpower that I would love to have and share with people, right? Like the Vulcan mind meld.
Oh, yeah,
And
absolutely. Our minds as one, our
hold
thoughts
on
as
now.
one.
Don't make me start asking these like trivia sci-fi questions.
The mind meld music was the best music too. Like we get all serious.
Not even gonna,
He's gonna
I'm not
do
listening. I'm going to start asking you about Spock and the Force and then all kinds of stuff.
Well, my dad would always tease, like, my dad has such a healthy mental health and perspective about like letting people live their lives. And he would always say, like, I'm not getting involved in your brother's life and choices because of the prime directive. He would be like, we don't interfere with the development of alien cultures. He'd be like, your brother needs to make his choices and live his life. You know, that always like stayed with me.
That actually is pretty funny. I will tell you that my parents let me make mistakes, and I look back and sometimes now, because you're older, you can look back and see it's like, oh, I wish they hadn't let me do that and it told me. And then you just wonder, would it have helped or would it not have helped? I still would have burned my hand on the stove, whatever,
It
you know.
depends on personality, right?
Right.
Because some people learn really easily from someone telling them don't do that, and other people need to experience it for themselves. And I
Yeah.
think we find that in relationships and stuff like that too, is like some people have to figure out, you know, that yeah, I have to have good boundaries, and some people can do it from the beginning. You know, it's kind
Yeah.
of like, you know, it's also a thing of you asked a really interesting question about like what is the hardest thing about helping people. And I think the other part of it that's really hard is for us to believe that something can be different in spite of what we're seeing in front of us, like to hold the vision of what we want in no matter what we see around us.
That is a hard thing to do.
That is such a hard thing to do. And but then when we get there, it's so satisfying.
It is. It makes me think about faith, right?
People absolutely who have
faith. And yeah, you don't see it, but what is it? One thing I learned, because I did go to church when I was little, but
is it about faith is the substance of things unseen?
Yes. It's like, how do you hold on to that? It's like, especially if you're by yourself, if you're surrounded by the flock, right?
It's right. It's easier. It's easier. But that's why that's so such a huge part of what I do with my clients, is that I'm holding a vision for them of their future happiness and love, even if they doubt, even if they waver, even if they want to throw stuff at the wall, even if they get on and off the dating apps and you know what I mean? And they're like, I don't ever want to see another dating app again. Like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to ask you about TV love and how it defines society, but let's go to the dating apps instead, because that is a completely different way of dating these days, right? Like people used to go to the bars, the clubs. It's like, I'm going to go talk to him. I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to ask them to dance, get shot down. Now it's like swipe left, swipe right. Don't like them. Maybe I'll talk to them. Tell me about that experience.
Oh my gosh. Well, part of it kind of depends. People always want to know, like, is there a way to date online that's actually like successful or efficient or won't drive me crazy or something like that. And the thing is, like, I would say that from my experience, 90% of my clients don't go online, because there's three ways that love comes into their life and they don't end up needing to go online. But for the ones who are going online, it feels like the Wild West. And often it's like they were coupled up in their 20s, maybe in 30s. And now they're going back out there. And in their 40s, it's like, what is the world right now? Like, I have to go on. This is how you meet people. I have to do this. Do I have to do this? And it does kind of contribute to, you know, when people are online, they have a sense of anonymity and they'll do things or say things that they wouldn't do in person. Mm-hmm. You know, people's empathy goes down, their compassion goes down, because they don't really think of the other person as a real person. So you see a lot more like ghosting types of behaviors and a lot more of those kinds of things. And you also see a lot more, what's the right word for this? Unrequested intimate photography.
Okay, there's a good one.
Unsolicited
intimate. I don't understand that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like, I did not ask you for this, sir.
Thank you. No.
You know, you see a lot more of that where you're just like, yeah, that's not how you want to lead. That's not how most people are wired. You know,
it's interesting, right? Because it's like driving. Like there's some anonymity to driving where you can just like pull up and cut someone off, and people feel like that online. Whereas in real life, it's like, yeah, bro's not gonna jump in front of me right now.
yeah. In real life, there are, just because of basic human decency and manners, there are certain things people wouldn't do that they're willing to do online with dating. Someone I was talking to recently told me that a man she was talking to on a dating app told her that he felt like being on the dating apps was like he was swimming in a menopausal sea.
Okay.
And I was just like,
swipe away.
What? But it really makes people feel like, because it does have sort of a meat market feel to it. You got your pictures up. Most people don't read profiles. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was online, I would have pictures and I would have something in my profile that said, like, tell me the name of your favorite whatever. I think it was like your favorite 90s R&B song or your favorite, you know, movie or something like that, your favorite comedy. And it, like, if you respond, tell me that so that I know that you read my profile. And if people wouldn't respond to that, if they didn't answer that question, I just didn't really respond, because I was like, well, you're not actually interested. You're just looking at pictures and clicking, you know, because I think that for a lot of men online, it becomes like a numbers thing. They're just like, I like her, click, I like her, click, I like her, click, and see who reaches out to them. You know, but it's, there's a whole, we could go into a whole science of this, the whole online dating thing.
We might do another show and just talk about online dating and the difference between that and in real life, like hitting the clubs versus hitting online. So
I have a master class about online dating, even though most of my clients don't need it. And it's just, it's where we just talk about how to actually be courted, how to be approached by people who are taking the initiative, you know, and it's at datingdoesn'thavetosuck.com.
Okay.
So yeah, people, it's not, you know, online dating isn't necessary, but if you're going to do it, there are certain people who do it and they can bring an energy to it that is optimistic and like it's just fun and lighthearted because they're not thinking of it like I'm looking for a relationship. They're thinking of it like I'm just looking to get to know someone so that we can spend time together doing things I think are fun. And that's the only mentality that's helpful on a dating app. If you're going onto a dating app going, I'm going to find my future partner and this is going to be a part-time job for me to do this. That's not, frankly, that's not really the really great energy to go into in real life dating experiences either. It's like, I've got to find this person and they've got to be the person and they're going to sit down and it's going to be like a job interview that they didn't know they were applying for. It's like, that's not, that's not the business. That's not what it is.
Why do you think people just, this is, It goes along with what we're saying, but why do you think people date and get married anyway? And whether it's real life or online dating, just we've got a species called humans. Why is it that everyone thinks I got to find somebody?
Well, I think the vast majority of people feel that way. And I think that there are some people that don't. Some people who are aromantic or who are asexual are not as motivated by that, you know, but I think that everybody is motivated by companionship and we're literally wired for touch. You know, babies in orphanages will die if they're not touched. It's called failure to thrive syndrome, you know, and we're just, that's how we're wired as human beings is for touch, for connection, for companionship. We have a capacity for language that's a uniquely human thing so we can communicate with each other, you know. Yeah. It's like we're just made, we're connection people, we're connection beings rather, and yeah, so that's just how we're wired. But I think that in terms of marriage, you know, I think that people get married for safety, I think people get married for security, I think people get married for the feeling of companionship. I think people get married because they want someone else to be a witness to their life.
That's good. That's good. Witness to your life. That makes a lot of sense. Yes. What do you want? Most of your clients are women.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say to the women out there that are looking for love in all the wrong places? what do you want to say to them? What is the message from you to them?
My message for everyone would be, you don't make love happen, you make love welcome.
I love that statement.
Thank you. And it's so true because it's always coming back to my energy. It's always coming back to me being responsible for healing my wounds, me being responsible for clarity about what I want, you know, me being responsible for taking care of my me being responsible for self-love, you know, and even me healing my relationship with my body. It's so amazing to me how often people will be like, I want somebody who loves my body and they don't love their body. You know, okay. I want somebody who is like, it's very hard to attract someone to you who loves your body when you have an estranged relationship with your body. Like if you're not getting water, if you're not getting rest, if you're not eating nourishing foods, like you're doing these basic things to take care of your body, it's really, that's a foundation of self-love and self-care, you know? And it seems like a basic thing, but it's like so often we don't treat our bodies like they are the friend to us that they really are and that they have always been since we've been here, you know? And if we can't be like that with our dearest, closest friend that's taken us through life, you know, how are we supposed to attract somebody else to come into, like, we want, but we're going to be like loving and caring with a stranger that, you know, it's like, how does that even work? So
Not going to happen.
it's all those things about you make it welcome by how you love yourself. Do you make yourself the most important person in your life? Do you tend to your own emotional wounds? Do you shine light into your own patterns? You know, are you willing to do those things so that you can heal? And it's not about being perfect because everyone is in stages of healing all the time. It's about what are the specific obstacles that are in your way between you and love? What do you believe is possible for you in love? What are your beliefs about what is out there for you? You know, do you believe that being over 40 means like automatically the dating pool is smaller? You know, because I can promise you it's not. Do you believe that, you know, it's like someone's not going to want to be with you because you have kids? I can give you 15 stories of that not being the case from actual people that I've worked with. You know, people that are in small towns have beliefs that like there's nobody here, so I could never, you know, be with anybody because it's so there's nobody here. People in New York, people in Los Angeles, people in Paris are like, oh, there's so many people here and it's so superficial, nobody can connect. And it's like, but those people still find love in those places. It's about the beliefs that we're bringing to it, and we hold those beliefs, and we have the power to change those beliefs so that we can create a new reality.
I absolutely love the fact that you focus on that your belief and changing yourself and finding connection. That's a super good way, not just to find, I guess, love, but to live life, right?
Well, yeah, because really it's about us. It's our relationship with ourselves. It's us loving ourselves and realizing that what we came here for is love. You know, we came here to be expressions of love. And we want to create a life that feels really luscious and amazing and pleasurable and fun, and then invite somebody into it with us to like be part of the journey with us. You know, they're not the destination, you know, but they can come with us.
Nice. Oh man, thank you for that. I want to play a little game with you. I didn't mention this
Sure.
before, but we're going to play a game called This or That. I'm going
Okay.
to ask you a question. I'm going to give you two choices. You can choose one or the other, but not neither or both. Are you up for it?
Yes.
Good. Now I'm going to start. The questions are going to start off pretty easy, and they'll just get maybe a little harder and harder and harder as we go. Maybe we'll get philosophical. So if you feel like you
Okay.
have to justify anything, we can talk about it. Choose one or
Okay.
the
That's what I was going to ask you.
other, okay? No, you cannot. I'll just turn off your microphone.
No. Yeah. You say yes and no, and then you shut
Okay,
up.
here we go. We'll start easy. Home cooked meal on or fancy restaurant on first date.
Fancy restaurant because I don't know you well enough for you to come to my home yet.
How about morning meditation or evening meditation?
Morning meditation, because if I do it in the evening, I'll fall asleep.
There we go. I fall asleep anyway, so self-help books or motivational podcasts.
Podcasts because I'm busy.
Yes, I love motivational podcasts. About romantic movies or adventure dates.
Romantic movies, I'm not about. My daughter calls me her indoor parent, so yeah, I'm not an adventure type of person generally.
What's your favorite romantic movie, by the way?
Oh my gosh. So many. Right now I like Something New with Sanaa Lathan. That's been one of my favorites for a while. When Harry Met Sally's been one of my favorites for like 20 years. Oh my gosh.
Can you throw The Notebook in there or not?
No, I haven't seen The Notebook.
It's a good movie.
Is
I,
it?
to
I'll
tell
have
the
to check
truth,
it out.
I would actually throw Princess Bride into the
Oh,
romantic
Princess Bride
movie.
is such a good movie. It's such a great movie. I never think of it as specifically a love story, though, because
Right?
it's such an adventure and, but yeah, absolutely.
Yep, it's a love story. Oh my God, let's go a little deeper. How about comfortable silence or nonstop conversation?
Well, when I'm first connecting with someone, it's always the nonstop conversation. But because I'm an introvert, I need to recharge with silence. So,
Yes.
yeah.
Love at first sight or love that grows over time?
I've had both. I think the love at first sight is the most electric. It's probably the scariest, but it probably is also in some ways the most exciting because of
How
that.
about break a pattern or accept it as it is?
Oh, break a pattern if it's dysfunctional.
Okay, because there's a lot of people just are going to ride with it and go like, I can adapt, I can adapt.
What, break a pattern myself or in someone else?
Yeah, however you interpret it.
If it's a dysfunctional pattern in me, I'm going to break it.
Okay. Gotcha. How about seek advice or trust intuition?
Both. Okay, so I can't say both. So
No,
let
you
me think.
can't say
What would
both
I
on here.
do first? What would I do first? I would trust my intuition first.
Okay.
That's what I would do first.
Okay. Being single and happy or in a relationship and compromising?
Oh, single and happy.
Yeah. I vote for single and happy too. Let's go a little harder. How about personal fulfillment or relationship commitment?
Personal fulfillment. You can't commit to a relationship if you don't have anything to give there.
Okay. Give up a dream for love or give up love for a dream?
Give up a dream for love or give up love for a dream.
I already know which one I'm on.
I don't, I think. Okay, so this is gonna sound weird. I think it would probably be give up love for a dream.
That's my side.
Yeah, because I believe, and these are sort of hard because I think that love is abundant. So my thought is, even if I gave this love up for a dream that was that dear to my heart, there is so much love still in the world. I'm not worried that I will never be loved again. You
There you
know?
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got dreams.
Yeah, dreams. I mean, like, how do you live without dreams?
Yeah. How about risk getting hurt for love or guard yourself and possibly miss out?
Risk getting hurt.
See, I'm on that guard yourself and possibly miss out thing.
Yeah, I would risk getting hurt because I know from past experiences that if I am bringing fear into a situation, it's probably my stuff. You know, if they haven't given this person in front of me hasn't given me any reason to fear. If this person in front of me has been consistent in their actions, if their words and actions match, if, you know, all of those things and I've had time to know them and all of those things, like in the first, you know, 3 or 4 months, it's my stuff if I'm freaking out. That's like a pretty common self-sabotagey thing.
Okay. How about a love that's calm and steady or passionate and intense?
See, okay, this is getting hard because I think you can have both. I know you can have both.
Not in this game.
Yeah, so I always start with passionate and intense, and I'm okay if it goes into calm and steady over time.
Can you actually build a lifelong relationship, you think, on love? There's people go like, don't get married for love, get married for stability, get married for something, but not love, because love is
I
fleeting.
think, well, no, I think that that's a limiting belief, right? It's this belief that says love is fleeting. And that's happened, that's come up because somebody has had the experience of love being fleeting. So now they believe that's what it's always going to be like for them. And they've translated that further into, and it's like that for everybody because that's just the nature of love. But if we went back and healed that belief that said love is fleeting, and instead said, I can have lasting love no matter what my experiences have been. And we connect on an energetic level so that I can actually help them heal that. Then they're not going to go forward with that belief anymore. They're going to go forward with the belief that says, I can have love that's lasting. And even if love ends, I will be okay. And there will always be more love.
Nice.
You know, because okay. like that's what the truth of it actually is. So okay. I think, what was the question though? I'm sorry. I know I got way away from the question.
We started with, we'll move on to the next one. We'll move on to the next
okay.
one. Okay. And totally we're still in the medium hard ones. Let's go to like, we'll go a little more difficult and then we'll end it up. How about
okay.
Date someone completely opposite or date someone very similar?
They'd have to be more similar than not.
Mm-hmm.
Especially yeah. with this political climate. Opposites are not always safe anymore because it's
no, Paula Abdul, they are not.
Yeah.
Oh, how
about... Sorry, Paula.
Yeah, I love the song, but yeah, no. How about long-term single singlehood with inner peace or troubled relationship with moments of joy?
Long-time singlehood with inner peace. I mean, there's no... Anytime it's like a choice between you are happy, you are whole and well, and you are compromising for something or someone.
No. Okay.
How about... I am not.
No. Truth that hurts or lie that comforts in a relationship?
Oh man, that's a hard one because you do need both. I think truth because if you, I think truth, but here's the thing. Okay. Whenever I'm telling someone something that's true, that's I always think, is this, if it's hard, if I know it's going to be hard for them to hear, mm-hmm. I think, is this necessary for me to tell them? Is this absolutely true? And how can I do this in a way that's the kindest way? So I don't believe in brutal honesty.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I believe in compassionate honesty, you know, but honesty is the foundation because how do you trust someone who lies to you just to make you feel better? You know, how do you actually develop trust there if, you know, you stop believing what they're saying? It's like.
What if that lie gives them confidence to do something that they wouldn't have done?
Okay, this is a whole other level.
Because
now.
For there's that comfortable lie, right? Because.
Sure. It's like,
you know, you're an amazing speaker. I love hearing you speak. Just so that they'll get up on stage and actually say what they have to say.
Do you hate hearing them speak?
It's not whether or not I hate hearing them speak or not. It's like whether or not they've always wanted to speak. They know they're not a good speaker, but you boost their confidence by saying.
What if they're not a good speaker, but you love to hear them speak? So you say, I love to hear you speak. And I think you should get up there and do that.
Yeah. It's a tough question, right? But I'm looking at it from the point of what do they want to do with their life? In other words, they think they're a fabulous speaker, but you know they're not. But they've got to get up and speak anyway, because that's the only way they're going to get better.
So I think of it as you can tell them those truths in ways that you can stick to the truth in ways that are encouraging.
Yes.
Because telling them you suck as a speaker is not encouraging or productive, even though it's true, right?
Yeah, it is.
But what is true is every single time you get up there, you will get better and better. You will learn more and more over time and you'll feel more and more confident. And I love hearing you speak.
Yeah.
And there will be people who absolutely love hearing you speak. And there's no way that with consistent practice here, you wouldn't get better at this.
Okay.
And I would say, look at all these people who started out. They weren't born knowing how to speak publicly.
Nope.
They practiced. And you will too. And you'll get even better.
Good answer. I love that.
You see?
This is why
you'll
you're here.
So even better.
You'll get even better.
I didn't put in. Because you suck right now.
Yeah.
You will get even better.
Yeah. I've got two more questions for you. I'm juggling between which one they leave is the ending one. I'll just have to ask them. First one.
Okay.
And one of two. Here we go. Love with all your heart and risk heartbreak, or guard your heart and risk not fear, fully experiencing love.
Love with all your heart and risk heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's like so many of us have lived through really hard things. Things that are much harder than a broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
And still we kind of shy away from that experience like we wouldn't live through it. Like we're not resilient enough to make it through that if it happened to us. You know?
Nice.
But the other side of that is, what is the possibility that could happen is that you're in an amazing, loving, deeply satisfying relationship. And every time you look at that person, you'll be like, I am so amazing for taking a chance here. I am so proud of myself for being brave so that this could happen for us, you know?
Excellent. Let me ask you one more question. Sure. Last one. Okay. Maintain your own identity or merge identities in a relationship?
Maintain your own identity. I think too is like, you do things right. Like you have things that you do together, things that you like to do together. That's always great. But the reason there were reasons that you were attracted to that person and that they were attracted to you that have to do with your individuality, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, what did they first notice about you? What did you first notice about them? Those things. But then we get into relationships and we stop developing ourselves. We stop growing, you know, especially if we thought of the journey as if this is a journey to be with someone. And now that I'm with someone, I can get off the path and I never have to, you know, it's like, no, you're still on the path, yeah, you know, you still are responsible for doing the things that thrill your heart and soul, you know, and letting and growing.
Gosh, I want to tell you that I have super enjoyed talking with you today and learning with you. And we will have to do this again. We're going to do the Spock mind melt thing. And I want other people too. I want them to be able to get in touch with you. And we've got your website here, carissamontooth.com. So that's probably the easiest one to remember. You are also over on IG, Instagram.
At yes, Carissa. You can slide in the DMs.
Yes. And you're still on Twitter too. Instagram is at Carissa Love Healer and Twitter C Montooth.
Instagram is the best bet. I think Twitter is, you can sort of see the writing on the wall with Twitter. So
yeah.
Sadly.
If I only had $44 billion to spend on it. Yeah.
If we only had $44 billion in a time machine.
Yes, there we go.
Go back and get that Amazon money.
All right. So for everyone that's listening and can't see it on the screen, it's at Carissa, and that's the A-R-I-S-A Love Healer, all one word. And then finally, you do have a YouTube and Facebook, and they are both Carissa Montooth Love Coach.
Yes. So. And people can actually schedule time to talk to me directly at soullovesession.com.
Soul, S-O-U-L, love, sessions.com.
Session. Love that.
Session no S. With no S. You can only do one session. Every time.
One session. Soul of session singular.
Awesome. I'm going to leave up your Instagram on screen so people can see it at Carissa Love Healer. And I can't wait to talk to you again. It's been fun.
It has been so fun. Thank you so much for having me, Michael Blake.
Thank you, everybody, for showing up. And we will catch you on a future episode. Good to see you. Bye-bye, everyone.